Well, are you looking forward to heaven?
Amen.
What joy it will be when we get over yonder. Eye has not seen. It's hard to imagine what it must be when you see the splendor and the glory, God's handiwork in our world. There's some wonderful, beautiful sights. Heaven's going to be so much better. So much better. And then to meet our Savior. What a moment to enjoy the glories of heaven for eternity. Will be a great privilege. And I'm looking forward to that day, and I trust you are too. We've come to the part in the meeting that's often the hardest, is when we know that the last service that has been scheduled is soon to be complete, and when we will go our ways, having shared times together with God in heavenly places. And I do want to say it's been our privilege to be here this week, our privilege to share His Word. You've been a great crowd to preach to and to share time with. Thank the Lord for every one of you. Some of you have been here every night. You've laid aside some of your own personal schedules. And you've prayed and you've labored. We thank God. We thank God for you. I want to say a special thanks to Brother and Sister Montgomery for opening up their nice little apartment, I guess is what you'll call it, and giving us a place to just rest along the way. And thank you. Thank you. You're doing God's service. You're doing God's service. Every church should have a place to where the pastor could maintain his family life and a sense of privacy when the evangelist comes in. And you have a place, and we thank you. Thanks for all the fine meals. I resemble them. Now I've got to go back and get in the back in the schedule of trying to downsize. Anybody ever try to do that, downsize? It's a lot of fun, isn't it? And you've kind of given me a break this week and a vacation and the wonderful food. And thanks again. Thanks for your kindness. For your kindness toward us, to our family, and on behalf of our entire family, I want to thank you for your kindness toward my sister-in-law and my brother in their time of great distress. When you responded out of a heart of love that expressed, in my opinion, your care and God's care, your love and God's love, even though most of you have never met them, you sent a wonderful offering, and I know that was a testimony to our entire family. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for your most generous offering this week. I write a few checks across around the year for ICHA, and camp meeting time is a time where there are always time to pay the evangelists and the workers. And I don't think you've been matched by very many places in your generosity. Thank you again. May God richly, richly bless you. And I know I may have said this before, I don't know, but I want to thank those who loaned some four-wheelers this week so we could get some therapy. I mean, we enjoyed it, and we've created some good memories, and we just thank God for what He has done. We realize that God allows our paths to cross for a reason. You know, the providence of God, that we could meet with you folk and share with you and go out and spread the good news about Wiseball Community Church. You have a beautiful sanctuary. You have a great group of families, good mixture of all the different age groups. And again, I tell you one more time, you're blessed. You're very blessed. Protect it. Pray over it. Stay determined to contend for the glory of God. And then share the good news with others. Don't you dare be critical. Just refuse to be critical. Refuse to find fault with your church. Amen. Protect it. No church is perfect. No church. I'm in my fourth pastorate. And every church has a personality. I've learned that. They have a personality. Every church goes through highs and lows. Seasons. Just like the natural world where there's a change of seasons. Every church goes through those seasons. There are dry times. We may as well be real people. There are dry times. But there's also times that God comes and He moves and He encourages. And He, you know, if you just stay put and you stay faithful, you can rejoice with those who rejoice. You can weep with those who weep. And you can be a mighty force for God and for His kingdom. I want to say a special thanks to the Ziegler's for all that they did to make us comfortable. We've shared some good times. We've recounted some memories of past, and we've created some new memories together. I trust that you will continue to support them and encourage them. You're blessed to have them here as pastor and family. Now just forget I'm their friend for a moment. Can you do that? I've observed this week a few things. And I've observed that you have a good relationship with your pastor and family. And I want to compliment you as a congregation for that. I've observed that they love you as a people. You know, you can tell when things are maybe a little on the uneven side. But they love you. They have a heart of serve, a heart to serve God, a servant's heart. And you need to be thankful for that. Let them know more than just in the month of October. Every once in a while, let them know with a card of kindness, just a thoughtful act or two, and I know you will. But I just want to encourage you to do that, because from a pastor's perspective, that means a lot. And you don't know when your shepherd is weighed low with a burden. Let me just share this little personal note with you, and then I'll try to preach a sermon here in just a minute. But a few weeks ago, I was pretty heavy under the load as pastor at our church. And there are trials and there are battles that only those who are in the ministry will understand. You know, Satan's got his bigger guns on your pastor and his family. He's got his guns on all of us. His traps set for all of us. But he's working overtime on your minister, your shepherd. I was feeling a little bit discouraged. Time to time we see that the hand of the Lord is working, but also the devil's fighting. I think it was a Sunday night. It was a Sunday night, maybe about a month ago, that I went home. Someone handed me a white envelope after service. And I know what you're going to think. You're going to think there's money in it, aren't you? How many of you thought that? All right, I'm going to spoil your thoughts. There was something a lot more valuable than green stuff. You know, I welcome the green stuff. I'll just turn around and put it in the ministry. That's right. We do. But I went home on a Sunday night, and I opened that envelope, and there was a little handmade cross out of construction paper. It wasn't cut nice and neat and all square and perfect. And I opened up that little cross. It was kind of like a card, and they had cut it out of the construction paper, and I opened it up, and there was the nicest little note of encouragement. Pastor, we love you, and we thank God for you, and we're praying for you. $1 million couldn't have done what that little note of encouragement did to my heart. You see, we give and we give and we give, and sometimes as you give back in those little ways, you may not know until you get to heaven how you sustained your pastor and family in the ministry by your notes of encouragement. Your notes of encouragement. Thank you for all that you've done. Now I've got to try to shift gears here and tell you, we need to go to 1 Peter chapter 1. I have a message that I feel like I need to share with you in the closing moments of this meeting. 1 Peter chapter 1, reading just verse 3. Verse 3. Let's stand together for the reading of God's Word. This is a beautiful verse. There's a lot of truth in it. The writer, Peter, gives to us these words: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." Three words from verse 3. A lively hope. A lively hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for the showers of blessings that we have received this week. We thank You for the visitation of Your Holy Spirit, for the faithfulness of the Spirit of God. We thank You for the Word of God, which gives us truth to live by, which is our anchor when the storms of life are raging. We live in a world that seems to be tossing to and fro on every hand, and sometimes we ask ourselves, is there any hope? But tonight I pray You'll impart to Your people from Your Word and through Your servant a renewal of hope in our hearts because of Calvary and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Satisfy Thy will, and we'll trust You to give victory as You count victory. In Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. Years ago, an S-4 submarine was rammed by a ship off the coast of Massachusetts. The sub sank immediately. The entire crew was trapped in a prison house of death. Every effort was made to rescue the crew, but all ultimately failed. Near the end of the ordeal, a deep sea diver who was doing everything in his power to find a way for the crew's release thought he heard a tapping on the steel wall of the sunken ship. He placed his helmet up against the side of the vessel, and he realized it was the Morse code. He attached himself to the side, and he spelled out in his mind the message being tapped from within. It was repeating the same question. The question was, from within, is there any hope? Is there any hope? When I look at our world tonight, and I look at our political world, and look at the religious world, when I look at what's happening in our personal world, sometimes I get the sense that there are men and women who are asking that question, is there any hope? Is there any hope? But I come to you tonight with a great assurance in my heart that Christian hope is different than that which the world defines as hope that we can live by. Here Peter says, we have a lively hope. What is that lively hope? It is a living confidence that we have a bright future. A future that is sure and it's certain, it's real, as opposed to the deceptive, empty, false hope this world offers. Some have their hopes pinned to their 401ks, to their stock market investments, to their careers, to their health, or their social status. But the hope that God's Word speaks to us about is not based on wishful thinking, nor upon the temporal things of this world. When we see this word hope in 1 Peter, it speaks of a confident assurance based on the Word of God and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Men and women, I trust tonight our hearts will be lifted to a new realm spiritually, and our minds will be challenged to understand and comprehend the fact that the hope that we have as believers in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is far beyond the hope of this world. There are at least 133 references to hope in the Bible. It is interesting to note that at least 58 of them are in the New Testament. In Hebrews chapter 6, we find hope spoken of as an anchor of the soul. And I suggest to you tonight, if there's ever an hour that we needed an anchoring point spiritually, it's the hour that we're living in tonight, because the winds that are blowing across the world and the horizon that we live in are shifting men and women on every hand. Consider what's happening as we are in this service tonight in the political house there in Washington, D.C., and the legislation that is being presented. I listened to the news, must have been the 5 o'clock news this afternoon. And according to those who are reporting, and you never know what's true and what's false, but according to those who are reporting, they feel like they have enough votes to pass the legislation from the House and then on to the Senate. I don't know about you, but that troubles me. That troubles me because it's an indication of the world that we're living in that is fastly slipping away from the heritage we've had as Americans and also as believers in Jesus Christ. But men and women, with that in mind, I come to remind you tonight that my hope is not built on the political systems of this world or the political figures of this world or even the things of this world. My hope is much higher tonight. It's based upon the fact that Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. There are a lot of things in life that can discourage us. There are a lot of events and life experiences that can weigh us down. But I want you to know tonight, if you are a child of God and you know that your sins are forgiven and you are on your way to heaven, we have a hope that this world knows nothing about. It is a hope that is steadfast and sure. Hope is the belief in the possibility of attaining something. It is closely allied with faith. While it is by faith that we are saved and we walk by faith, it is certain that hope is supporter of faith and is an encouragement to greater faith. Hope first causes a person to look to God for salvation, and faith takes its own step and believes God. Someone has suggested that hope has power, and I believe that tonight. Great hope brings power for us to believe. The prospect of the future glory is absolutely certain, for we have God's word for it. Hope is an essential element of our salvation. Faith looks backward and upward, but hope looks forward. Faith accepts, but hope expects. Faith is concerned with Him who promises, but hope is occupied with the good things promised. Faith appropriates, but hope anticipates. It is in the power of this hope, which the New Testament calls that blessed hope. Tonight, if you have the hope that comes only from Jesus Christ, you're a blessed individual. Hope that is based upon the resurrection of our Lord. But I also want to suggest to you that hope is always centered on the coming of the Lord. We need a renewal of hope tonight, men and women. I can remember as a boy growing up, hearing those old preachers coming through our country church and thundering about the second coming of Jesus Christ. It almost seems to be a lost theme in this day, but back in the 70s, when I was a little guy there listening to those men preaching over and over again, Jesus is coming. I remember old Brother Commodal. Anybody remember that name? He would come through the churches and stretch across his great pictures and his I don't know what you call them. What would you call them? Scroll? Some kind of work that he had done, talking about prophecy. Oh my, those would be spread across our church. It seemed the theme was, Jesus is coming, and we have a hope that'll lift us out of this old world of trouble and misery. But that's a lost message in this generation. But I come to remind you tonight, Jesus is coming. And for the child of God, that means a day of sweet deliverance. Amen. Psalm 31 and verse 24, be of good courage and He shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Is that where your hope is tonight? Is your hope in the God of the ages, that God who has never failed? Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. Do you have that hope tonight? Hallelujah! He is our hope for days and years to come. Hope thou in God. Psalm 146 and verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob as his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. I think you're catching on, aren't you? Our hope is to be in the Lord, the one who is able to give us reason and assurance and anticipation for good things in the future. Someone has said regeneration produces a lively hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life is a true Christian belief and a hope that keeps an individual alive, quickens him and supports him and conducts him to heaven. Hope invigorates and spirits up the soul to action, to patience, to fortitude, to perseverance. I suggest to you tonight that hope will help an individual to survive. In his book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl tells of his years trapped in the indescribable horror of a German prison. He was transported there like a despised animal, given 2 minutes to strip naked or be whipped. Every hair was saved from his body, and he was condemned to a living death. His father, mother, brother, and wife died in the camps or were sent to the gas ovens. His existence was full of cold, fear, starvation, pain, lice, dehumanization, exhaustion, and literal terror. Frankl wrote that he was able to survive because he never lost the quality of hope. Think of it. Think of it. Those prisoners who lost faith in the future were doomed. When a prisoner lost hope, Frankl said, he let himself decline, becoming subject to mental and physical decay. He would die literally from the inside out. Frankl said this usually happened quite suddenly. One morning, a prisoner would just refuse to get up. He wouldn't get dressed or washed or go outside to the parade grounds. No amount of pleading by his fellow prisoners could help. No threatening by the captors would have any effect. Losing all hope, he had simply given up. He would lay there in his own excrement till he died. American soldiers later told Frankl that this behavior pattern existed also among prisoners of war and was called give-up-itis. When a prisoner lost hope, he lost his spiritual hold. I've met a few people around the church like that. Have you? I'm going to tell you one of the most heart-wrenching things to experience as a pastor is when you try to minister to people who say, we have lived in the best days we'll ever live. This church has experienced the greatest heights of glory. We have reached our zenith. It's all downhill from here. I want to tell you, that's a challenging crowd to try to encourage and press toward the future. You say, Pastor, you don't understand about dark clouds. I could tell you some real personal stories tonight about dark clouds in my young life. I could tell you a few things that would help you understand that we have faced a number of things that have challenged our reason to hope. But I want to tell you tonight, based on the Scriptures, I have a new belief and a new confidence in the God who has promised that He will keep us and sustain us, and He, in fact, will see us through. I study the Old Testament and I find God's people are hard-pressed, wandering in a wilderness, but I also find there's a God in the midst of that wilderness and they're not alone. Hallelujah. If you want some inspiration and some hope, study the Scriptures and find where God over and over and over again meets the need of His people and moves mountains and moves barriers and parts waters and supplies food and causes shoes to wear for over 40 years without wearing out. That's the God I serve tonight. Hallelujah. I remember a number of years ago, we were leaving our first pastorate and felt God call us to Whitehall, Indiana. Whitehall is a little bitty place on the map. Some of you may know where it is, but most will not. My brother said it was, I forget what he said it was, some kind of hillbilly country. They teased my kids about it being just a place back in no man's land. When he came finally to visit us, he said, wow, I had no idea. That's exactly what it is. No post office, too small for any kind of activity like that. Just a little place, little spot on the map. But you know, I found a handful of people there who just held on. And I have a greater appreciation today than I ever have in my life for people who just stay true. Solid people. There were four ladies that believed in that little place as a ministry stronghold for God and for holiness. That church had seen greater days. God had worked in their past, but the present looked pretty dim. God called us there. It was in 1996. They offered us $100 a week salary if they had it. Well, that'll boost your faith, won't it? But God called us there. God called us to a place that seemed to be dark and dismal. But I want to tell you, miracle after miracle happened. And those people began to see new life. God began to work among us. And I can tell you story after story. I won't even get to the rest of my message, but I want to tell you, I've seen God move mountains there that I haven't seen Him move anywhere else. God honored the faith and the confidence and the hope of those people. They just held on. Some through the waters, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great trials, but God still gives a song in the night season and all the day long. What? God's leading us tonight and we have reason to hope. Regeneration brings a lively hope. It's opposed to the dead hope of this world. The Christian hope is an effectual hope which proceeds from faith and promotes holiness. This lively hope is cheerful and joyful and contented in life. Do you possess that hope tonight? The hope that only Jesus can give. I read a little story, and if I can find my notes, I'll share it with you tonight. But I left in my message, I left a little place for a reason for hope. The reason is based solely upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But I've read the book, and some of you may have read it. Let's Roll. Anybody read that book by Lisa Beamer? When I read that book, there was something that caught my eye. It was her declaration. She said, the reason for my hope. Let me read you a few words. Even in the midst of heart-wrenching responsibilities, I tried to do many of the things that I would have done prior to September 11, and had it never occurred. One of these was attending a conference scheduled for November. I had registered to attend this conference in May of 01, thinking it would be a fun getaway. And there would be 25,000 other women there who had planned to attend. And when the leaders discovered that I, Lisa Beamer, would be attending, they asked me to share a few words with the audience. You understand, this was after September 11 and her husband was taken down in one of those planes. The events of 9/11 brings to mind all sorts of things, from fear to anger to sadness to thoughts of loss that thousands of people have experienced personally. We are left with choices, what we will do with those feelings. The choices for people like me are to look at all the things that were lost, or to look at all the things that we have, to become better or to become bitter, to live in fear or to live in hope. The reason I have chose to live in hope is because of the heavenly, eternal perspective of God and He has given me. If September 11 has taught me anything, it is that we are never really in control. Todd and I were two people who planned for the future, type A's, who had all of our ducks in a row, and yet we were not in control on 9/11. But hope comes from knowing who is in control. Hope comes from knowing that we have a sovereign, loving God who is in control of every event of our lives. Hope, a reason for hope. There's a relationship of hope to living. Someone has said hope delivers us from the despair that nothing we do matters. Enables us to tackle even the most menial job with vigor. Elmer Bendiner tells the remarkable story of a B-17 bomber that flew a bombing mission over Germany in the latter days of World War II. The plane was hit several times by shells and flak, with some of the hits directly into the fuel tank. Miraculously, the bomber did not explode. When it landed, 11 unexploded 20-millimeter shells were taken out of the fuel tank. The shells were dismantled, and to the amazement of everyone, all were empty of explosives. Inside of one cell was a note written in the Czech language, Czechoslovakian language. And when it was translated, it read, "This is all we can do for you now." A member of the Czech underground working in a German munitions factory had admitted the explosives in at least 11 of those shells on his assembly line. That worker must have wondered often if the quiet work he was doing to subvert the Nazi war effort was going to make any difference whatsoever to the outcome of the war, but he kept doing what he could do to make a difference. You see, you and I are significant in God's kingdom. We are significant. I'd like to tell every Sunday school teacher tonight, what you're doing for God and His kingdom is vitally important to His kingdom. You work Sunday after Sunday. I want to tell you, you've got a good song leader. I wanted to say that earlier. I've enjoyed the song leading this week. Sometimes in the menial task of life that we do, we wonder if we're making any difference. But men and women, if we have the hope of Jesus Christ in our heart, there's someone down the line, someone down there in the events of life that's going to point back to you and to I who gave them reason to hope, and it caused them to have new life and new encouragement in what we are doing. I say sometimes to our congregation at home, I say some of you that feel like you don't have any significant role in this church. You never sing a special song. You never play an instrument. You're not up front. You don't have any talents that seem to be obvious on the shirt sleeve, but you're there praying, you're working, you're laboring, you're supporting, you're giving, you're here in attendance. I want you to know that you're a vital part of God's kingdom. You're giving hope. I don't know of a greater ministry, men and women, for the laity than to give encouragement and in hope. And it often will bring new life to those that are around you. Hope has a relationship to living. I say unto you tonight, we need a renewal of hope. A hope that is based upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. I like this verse. Which hope we have is an anchor. The apostle here challenges the illusion. He represents the state of the followers of God in this lower world as resembling that of a vessel arriving to perform her voyage through a troublesome, very dangerous sea. At last, she gets near the port, but the tempest continues. The water is shallow, broken, and dangerous, and she cannot get in. In order to prevent her being driven to sea again, she heaves out her sheet anchor, which she has been able to get within the pierhead by means of her boat. Though she could not herself get in, then swinging in at the length of her cable, she rides out the storm in confidence, knowing that her anchor is sound, the ground good in which it is fastened, and the cable strong. Though agitated, she is safe. Though buffeted by wind and tide, she does not drive. By and by, the storm ceases. The tide flows in. Her sailors take to the capstan, wear the ship against the anchor, which still keeps it safely in the hold. I tell you, the winds are blowing tonight, men and women, but my anchor's holding. How about you? How about you? We need a renewal of hope in our churches. We do. Some of you have prayed for loved ones for years, and you've almost asked the question, is there any hope? Is there any hope? Some of the hardest crowd, again, to try to minister to are those who have sunk into a spiritual condition of despair. Their anchor seems to be shifting with them. But the writer of Hebrews says that we have a sure hope, a hope that is an anchor of the soul. What does one hope to do? Someone has said hope shines brightest when the hour is darkest. Hope motivates when discouragement comes. Hope energizes when the body is tired. Hope sings when bitterness bites. And when melodies are all gone. Hope believes when the evidence is eliminated. Think of that. Hope listens for answers when no one is listening. Hope climbs over obstacles when no one is caring. Hope smiles confidently when no one is laughing. Hope reaches for answers when no one is asking. Hope presses toward victory when no one is encouraging. Hope dares to give when no one else is sharing. Hope brings the victory when no one else is winning. I'm glad tonight we have a hope that is sure. It's settled in the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. A hope that is an anchor of the soul that reaches in to a celestial world, into the very throne room of God. I like that song we lifted this week. My hope is built on nothing less. Nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Nine months ago tonight, around 8:45 in the evening, I received the phone call that I so dreaded to receive. The phone call from my mother saying that my little brother had left this world. One of the hardest experiences that I've ever had as a young pastor. I remember visiting with him two different times in the hospital. I remember looking out one time after the last, actually there on the last trip, I believe he was on the ninth floor of that great university hospital there in Denver, Colorado. He had suffered now for weeks and for months. We didn't understand. I had arrived. It was a Monday. Flew out that day on Monday. I believe it was Memorial Day. Arrived in that hospital and tried to prepare myself for his declined condition. But there's no way you can do it, men and women. And it hit me like a Mack truck. Wow. They don't even look like my brother. The cancer is stealing his life right before our eyes. And as hard as I tried to control my emotions, I couldn't. It hit me ever so hard. I thought, I got to get myself together. I got to be strong for Steve. I wanted to be strong for him. Walked out of his little room, walked down to the end of the hall and looked out that large window overlooking that city. And I shook my head and I said, God, I don't understand. I don't understand. And then this thought started ringing through my mind. Is there any hope? Is there any hope? We had prayed. My parents had prayed. There were people all over. You folks prayed. People all over this world literally praying God would heal him, raise him up. But we prayed according to the will of God. Is there any hope? And then I looked up into the heavens on that clear blue sky day there in that wide open sky in Denver. I looked up beyond the little clouds that were floating by. And I looked into God's heaven. And I said, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have hope. We have hope that this is temporary. We have promises in the Word of God that give us reason to hope, look forward to the day with full assurance when God calls His children home, or whether we go by the way of the grave or by the second coming of Jesus Christ, we have a hope of reuniting together in heaven. I can't tell you what that did for me. I wished I could. I wished I could. Amongst those tears of grief, that Sunday night on Father's Day 9 months ago, I looked up again and I said, thank you, God, for sending your Son, dying on an old rugged cross and submitting yourself to all the things that were unfair and unjust to give us a reason to hope that takes us out of this world of misery and heartache and sorrow that would just drown us and lifts us up to the heavens. And we hear Jesus saying, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. Why? For in my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, He said, I'm not going to leave you there. But I'm going to come again. A city where there's no need of sun. A city where there is no sorrow. Can't imagine. Can't imagine. A city where there's no sickness, no afflictions of the body. A city where there is no sin. I can't really get a hold of that, but I like the thought of it. No more tears. No more sorrows. Based on the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. My brother and his wife lost their first child when he was a preemie. They named him Ambrose. I thought that's such a strange name. I've never heard that name used in modern history. What does it mean? And they told us the reason that they named him Ambrose, because his name means little champion. Little champion. You see, he took a shortcut to heaven. He was a champion. He bypassed this world of heartache and sorrow. And all that does its best to take away our hope. It's a great treasure, men and women. The hope of Jesus Christ. I've envisioned a few times what it must be like for Stephen and little Ambrose for 9 whole months They've been exploring God's heaven. Some days I wished I could just go join them. It sounds like a pretty good deal to me. How about you? A city where God is the light. Where our hearts will know for eternity the blessings of God's grace. Men and women, we have a hope tonight. I want to send you away at the close of this meeting, challenging you to look up one more time and get a hold of God's hand. And in the midst of the heartaches and the trials and the disappointments and the discouragements of life, there's still a God who gives hope. A lively hope, the Scripture says. A blessed hope that is an anchor for our soul. Do you have that anchor tonight? Do you have that anchor? I'm asking Samuel to come back to the piano. I didn't prepare him for this. But if you can play, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." If you can do that for us, I want us to sing a couple of verses. As we close this service tonight, I'm inviting you to stand. God sent His Son. They called Him Jesus. He came to love, heal, and forgive. Do you know the words? And then the last verse. Maybe somebody can lead off in that. And then someday, I'll cross that river. Do you have that hope tonight? Friend, if you don't, you can before you leave this service while we sing these words as a means of encouragement. If you have a need, this altar is always open. Let's sing it together.
Sweet victory, I'll see. on your heart. Every heart clear. Jesus, we love you. We want to thank you for being willing to go to the cross, suffer all that you suffered, face death, but then purchase life eternal for us. We thank you. We thank you for this great congregation of people who love you, who are on their way to heaven. Jesus, I pray tonight you'll keep them encouraged. Keep their pastor and family encouraged. When the devil and the Satan of the enemy of our soul comes in like a flood, we pray that you would raise up a standard against him by the Spirit of God. Keep this place lit with the glory of God. Make this a lighthouse to this community. Encourage the saint tonight that feels like they're just barely taking a step. Give them a new spring in their heel and help them to look up to the God of the heavens who has never failed, never failed, and always met the need. Yes. Encourage every family, every father and every mother. Keep them true, I pray. Help us to raise some young people who possess this hope that is eternal, forever sealed in the heavens. And then help us to share the good news with those that we come in contact with. We thank you for your blessings this week. Send us forth with your blessing, and we'll give you thanks, for you alone aren't worthy. In Jesus' name, God bless you. You're dismissed.